flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, welcome in, everyone. Paula Scanlon is quite a story that we've talked with her about over the last year or so, and now her role in winning New Jersey. But I happened to see an interview with her the other day in which they drilled down a little bit more, and I wanted you to hear what actually went on. What were the pressures like at the University of Pennsylvania? I mean, you talk about a lawsuit here of coercion. Not to say anything about Leah Thomas. We knew it was bad, but being likened to being a bigot, being like a racist. She's an ambassador at the Independent Women's Forum. And as I said, one of the tip of the spear in trying to win New Jersey, which will be the next huge contest. I saw some polling out today. Before we go to Paula, too, a couple things. One, the two people in Jersey that are most likely to be the gubernatorial candidate for the Democrats. Mikey Sherrill still voted against Lakin Riley. She's the leader. She's only got 10%. I mean, they're spread out all over the place. But the runner-up, the guy that all my sources say will probably be their nominee, Gottheimer, Congressman Gottheimer, he voted this time yes on the Lakin Riley bill. He didn't show up the last time. Neither did Mikey Sherrill. They chickened out. They didn't know what to do. Of course, Dean Scanlon and the Houlihan still voted against this.
Decency.
What is wrong with you people in Montgomery, Delaware County, and Chester County? The whole, Brendan Boyle, these Democrat senators under pressure voted for this. But these three women who lecture us about protecting women, the very thing that Paula Scanlon is involved in now, they still voted against Lakin Riley. Let's go to Paula Scanlon here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Paula, good afternoon. As always, great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me on. And yes, I know there's a representative that has a similar last name to mine, spelled a one letter difference.
Yeah, yeah.
Has very different viewpoints from my own.
Yes, I'm sure. So, Paul, we're intrigued by how you came of your voice to come out of this and do this. We've talked with you about that and Riley Gaines, and now what you're doing with other women to have them come forward. But I saw this recent, very recent interview, and you went into more detail that we haven't talked about before at Penn. Was it the head swimming coach? Was it other people when you had young women objecting to this day to day? I think you talked about the sheer numbers of times you had to interact with Leah Thomas, the practices and everything else. And they liken it to being a bigot, like a racist.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the university brought in administrators, so people from the athletic department, there were people from the LGBT center, there were people from psychological services. I mean, you know how college campuses are. All these administrators that work for these college campuses, and there's hundreds and thousands of them, and nobody even knows what they do, okay? So just pick any of those, any 12 of those people, and just send them over to talk to the swim team. That's basically who was talking to us and checking in. And in this meeting, they told us, again, that if we were the problem, they said, please seek help. They gave us the number for psychological services if we objected to this man being in our locker room. And again, he was in our locker room 18 times every week
right.
We were on the team. Those 9 practices, change in, change out, okay? And the second thing that they told us is they said, history will not remember you well. This is the new civil rights movement, and not wanting to undress with a fully grown man in your locker room is equivalent to not wanting to undress with somebody based on their race. They legitimately compared this to racism in the 60s and all of that, which is wild. And again, that's just the only tactic they really have. And that was my takeaway. As soon as they said that, I knew that they had nothing else to go on. And that, you know, again, they were just desperate at trying to make this work and scare us into silence.
So, Paula, did anybody speak up? There are a lot of swimmers on there, and I'm sure women athletes, you know, they're not wallflowers. They're willing to speak up. Or was there such, they're telling you to seek psychological help. If you spoke up, I guess that would be to your detriment as a swimmer, maybe.
To this day, I'm the only person on my team who's ever publicly spoken up about any of this, if that's shown you anything. And there are exactly 4 of my teammates of almost 40 girls that have reached out to me to say, hey, I'm really supportive of what you're working on. 4 of 40.
Wow. So they also made it apparent, we were told, and I think you've said in this interview about future jobs, not just how history will, you're going to be blackballed and that's it. You're not going to be able to find employment given your stature, your college degree. That won't matter.
Yep, that's another thing they told us. They said, you'll never be able to find a job because they will look you up online and see what you've said, and you will be unhirable. And it was really interesting because I actually did work a corporate job when I first spoke up about this. And what I found, I mean, there were definitely people in the office that were very unhappy and very uncomfortable with my viewpoints. Of course there were. But what I found is there was actually so many people that were supportive. In fact, there were people who work in different departments of the company I worked at that found me on Slack and our internal messaging systems and would reach out and say, hey, I know you don't know me. My name is such and such, and I'm on this team, and I'm really supportive of what you're doing. So I actually found the majority of my office was actually incredibly supportive of this. And when I later took this to, now I've been doing this for almost 2 years, the majority of Americans are supportive of talking about this, Democrat, Republican, Independent, you name it. And so it really is a small group of people, this quiet minority, that makes you feel like you can't talk about it. It makes you feel like you're a crazy person or you're a bigot or you're a racist. But in the reality, 80% of Americans agree with what I've said about
it. You know,
this.
As I'm hearing this, though, if I were your mom or dad in this situation, I'd be thinking, ah, boy, this is a dilemma. You know, my instinct is to go right down Broadway, go after them. You're going to be hit with all these things. But the reality is my kid is a swimmer at this type of level. I want them to enjoy that. I want them to do it. I don't want them to be a martyr. And it's a bit unclear at your point in time there, Paula, about what would happen to you in future employment. But I think it dawns on us now. This is a new day. They're not going to win on that. Employment will be there. People like you, Riley Gaines, are the trailblazers. And we've seen that with the volleyball thing this year. Those women didn't shut up. Oodles of them threatened to sue or did sue their own organization and all the organizations that were forcing them to play against somebody who's probably male.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, I think what we've seen now, though, is this has become mainstream, right? That those yes. athletes are able to do that because
yes.
also part of it is that we've been able to build out the structure to support these athletes. I think when I first went through this, there was no support system. There wasn't another female athlete I could reach out to and say, hey, what should I do? Or, you know, am I crazy? But now we've been able to immediately reach out to so many different athletes that have gone through this. I mean, I think even this morning, I was getting messages from someone in my home state of Connecticut just talking about a male athlete wanting to play on, I think, on the track team. And so it's just people know to reach out to us, and it's really been that this network and this support system. And the girls that have spoken up in NCAA volleyball are super brave, but I'm really proud of them, but I'm also proud of being able to be part of it, to have gotten to know these girls and to say, hey, I'm here to support you however I can.
Well, we were out of it because, again, people who minimize, they, you know, we were getting callers. We didn't know you then, and they would call me, some of them, and get wild. And why don't these women just speak up? And I tried to give the dilemma here at that point in time. Now, after the election, particularly, the president the other day, the executive order, there are two genders. You're seeing more blatancy. We're going to see this more. I think you're either going to see high school girls that will organize, come through you guys, and they're going to speak out and not take it anymore. And I think even in a place like New Jersey, as this election unfolds, this type of there are a lot of big issues, but this type of issue is going to play out. You just heard me talk about Gottheimer, now this time voting yes for Lake and Riley. Cheryl still voted no, but she showed up this time. Jersey is in play, and stuff like this, it moves a needle with people that sometimes don't vote. They go, wait a minute, I'm not in favor of girls having to play against boys. Are you kidding me? And if the other party's identified as that, then they're going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, and I think I did notice that too. I thought maybe she changed, but I thought that they had both all the people who are running on the Democrat side had just abstained from voting on the Lake and
that,
Riley Act.
That was the first time. Now with the new vote,
okay, and then
after
voted the
Senate,
second time?
Yeah. So you have knowledge of this. Gottheimer now voted yes, and this time Cheryl voted no. They actually showed up and voted.
Okay, got it. Thank you for the update. I mean, yeah. I've been tracking them very closely, but. But we see this type of stuff happen right now that they're clearly going to be running for governor. They're trying to appeal to the more quote unquote moderate stance. I mean, this is the Lake and Riley Act should not be a moderate position. I think everyone should agree. I'm offended that there is any representative sitting there in Congress that doesn't think that we need to get rid of illegal immigrants who are already illegally in this country for doing something wrong. But I'm not going to get into that.
Yeah.
And we see this happen when it comes up to the election because they're realizing, again, New Jersey is a state that swung 11 points over from 2020 to 2024. I haven't looked at every single state in the country, but I think that that's one of the biggest ones.
Oh, it is. So, Paula,
they're realizing.
What are you doing day to day at this point in time now? What's your role?
Yes. So we are working on registering voters and getting turnout for Republicans in New Jersey on the election. And again, the reason we're doing this is because we see the people in New Jersey and what they want, and they don't feel represented by these Democrats. I mean, if you look at the two senators voted no on the Lake and Riley Act, right? So that's not in the House, the two senators. Mm-hmm. And the only other state in this entire country where both senators voted no was Massachusetts. Every other state at least had their one senator vote yes or abstain, right? New Jersey is not well represented by the people in power here. And so the people are angry, they're unhappy, and we're really going to tap into that and, again, make sure that the turnout is good, make sure that new voters are registered. And so we're just around the state doing events. There's a fly fishing event in Edison that we're going to be at this weekend. So if anyone listening happens to be there, we will be there, and we'd love to meet you, love to register you to vote, love to get your commit to vote. It's going to be great.
So, Paula, where do we go then for this? You're the boots on the ground part along with Scott Presler. Where do people go for information? Because they may want to volunteer. I see the list of volunteers already, so I follow Scott every day. Where do they go?
Yes, earlyvoteaction.com. So all the information is there. And there's other states we're working on as well. There's the Wisconsin Supreme Court. We're still KCVing in Pennsylvania, making sure that state now stays red. And there's other opportunities if you're out of state to write cards to voters, to send text messages. So earlyvoteaction.com. There's also an app you can download. and a lot of resources there. You can also DM me on Twitter. I'm Paula Y. Scanlon. If you're in New Jersey and looking to volunteer, reach out to me directly and I can put you in touch with the right people.
Paula, thank you. To be continued. Thank you, Paula, very much as always.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Paula Scanlon here. And I heard this interview the other day. We've talked with her multiple times, but you can imagine being in that situation, you know, and your instinct, let's go after them. These women wanted to swim, et cetera. And still, to this point, she's really the only one that's gone public with that whole thing, even though a lot of them are supportive. But with the Trump administration now, after this election, we are seeing a lot more people stepping forward. And it's going to continue to be an issue. Here is, I don't know if we have the woman from Davos today. I don't see that one here.
Which one?
When Trump was speaking today, there's a woman that is the head of GLAAD talking about, in Switzerland today, talking about the fact that these people are nuts. They are going to get trans people killed, all right, from Grabian. But we'll get that in a second here. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question, too. Hit us with that all-time conspiracy, particularly if it is something that's kind of light, funnier maybe, that type of thing we're looking for. But I'm coming to your calls. 1:30, we're going to talk with one of our favorites, Judicial Watch. Tulsi Gabbard not even getting a hearing yet. Deep state again. Now, she's agreed to this 702 regulation that we'll explain that she was against before that involves the FISA court. And Judicial Watch, I'm sure, will have something to say, too, on the J6 stuff. Today, I said that I like what J.D. Vance did. He put up a special. He put up one case and he showed how wrong it was, et cetera. I agree that's in the 90-95% of these cases. But those that attack cops, I'm still at that point. Some of this stuff was incredibly serious. And I just think any kind of move toward commutation or pardoning there, you got to look at this as closely before you make that kind of decision. All right, here's from Switzerland. Here's the GLAAD representative.
Yeah, Sarah Kate Ellis.
Yeah, talking about President Trump and talking about all this emphasis on transgenderism.
I find it interesting that this change in the algorithm, thanks to Mr. Zuckerberg, comes just as Mr. Trump starts his second term.
Yeah, it's no surprise. I mean, Mark goes with the wind and is always chasing a dollar. And so we know that algorithms are where the money is made, and the hate algorithms are the better ones. So what we've enacted is free speech for algorithms, not free speech for citizens, because we do know that more people are accepting and believe in equality for LGBTQ people. But you would never believe that if you go on to X or now Facebook. That's not where it's happening. And I, to your point, what's happening online is happening in real life. It models one to the other. And we're seeing an uptick in violence in the United States against LGBTQ people. We had to, last year, start an alert desk to track the violence because it had gotten so heinous and out of control. And that's everything from attacks at drag shows to trans women being murdered on the street. So we're seeing a direct correlation between the two.
All right. Here's the conflating. America has changed on things that involve gay people. Trying to conflate that, squeeze it into this debate over transgenderism. This is what they'll do constantly. It's not going to win this debate. The fairness issue here, we just talked with Paula Scanlon and those who suffered under Leah Thomas. The issue of safety, you're not going to win on this. And it's bringing voters who are a little bit apolitical into the fold, saying, no, 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 that's real. That party, you're with that. It's deadly politically. That's what happened in the last election. But this will be a tactic. This is where they're going to go to say this is going to get trans people killed. Yes.
No, sorry. I just
didn't
mean to play that.
Yeah. All right, thank you. 855-839-1210. You'll get she's
talking,
on board.
The audio that I just accidentally played a little bit of is her talking about her work with Pope Francis, if you wanted to hear
that. Oh, my buddy, the Pope.
Yeah.
Yes, let's hear it.
I think also, you know, we are working with the Pope, and we have been working with the Pope and other religious leaders. And I think we've seen the most movement we've ever seen. Now, we've seen some setbacks. I'm not saying anyone. And don't, you know, we have to be careful about progress. It's not perfect. And no one is perfect in their path to progress. We're talking about an institution that has been around as long as humankind, honestly. And so to see the Pope talk about, you know, that gay folks can become, can enter the seminary, that he believes in blessing same-sex marriages, this is juxtaposed to what we're seeing in America, right? And so I think the other thing that I wanted to point out before we get into the questions is that there's a lot of great things happening, too. We are really dark up here. There's phenomenal things that are happening.
In Thailand from today, you can get married.
Let's stop there, please. Okay, so here's the thing. The Pope again in this. And it's going to be interesting to see what the Catholic Church does in these cities. I told you about this guy that's written this editorial for the Inquirer today. He's a priest in Philadelphia. How dare we say you're going to go into houses of worship? You're not going to be harboring people who might murder us, Father. Absolutely, the moral thing is to go in there, arrest them, and get them out of this country. If not, in some cases, the death penalty. We played you Bill Malugin, who's the star of this day. We'll play it again before the end of the hour, and you'll see it on YouTube. He rode with the Boston ICE, or at least in the Boston area, going in, and the people they picked up and the stuff these people were saying today that are here illegally. Really? You want to give them sanctuary? You want to continue down this path? And stop with the phony thing. Let's have a debate. I have a tape of the ACLU guy. He now calls real women non-transgender women. He's entered a new space where the non-transgendered woman is what women are about. Women are now to be called not transgender women. Just think of the mindset that's evolved. Is it any wonder Democrats lost this last election? Actually, lost the popular vote? All right, 855-839-1210. More calls are coming on Talk Radio 1210.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, Dom Giordano's show, 855-839-1210. You got the side question today. Hit us with that all-time conspiracy. You know, on the lighter side, not some of the National Well, the National Enquirer might have some funny ones, too. Coming off the JFK files might be coming down. Let's go to the Earl of Tacony on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Earl. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. Yes, teasel is a real thing. It's an invasive species. It was brought over from Europe. It was used in the wool and the fabric industry. It's a large plant, about maybe 6 feet tall, semi-woody, and it has a brush-like head that they used to use for working with wool and to get the nap up on certain fabrics, like wool fabrics.
So you think this is a legit rant so far then, huh?
Oh, yeah. So we deal with that all the time. She says she's cutting it down, which you would need like, you know, bolt cutters or something to do that, because we usually just rip it out of the ground every spring because it has a taproot, and a good pair of leather gloves, and because it has thorns all over it. Like I said, it's a real nasty plant that doesn't like to be touched. It even has an alkaloid poison on it that if it's green and it hits you in the skin, you break out in a rash. But the seeds are real popular among goldfinches. When we were locked down for COVID, we were up in March because when plague's coming, you know, you leave the city. And I thought someone was decorating the yard with ornaments. Turned out there were hundreds, if not thousands, of yellow goldfinches all over the property, eating all of the teasel seeds and the sunflower, dandelion seeds.
All right. So, so far the ranch. Let me ask
Earl,
though.
I mean, Earl, would you ever consider going and working with these ladies on the ranch? You know, you have that experience.
I don't have time to work on our own property, much less go someplace else. Also, the nice thing about setting your own hours is, it's fun when you don't have to do it. It's like anything else. When you have to do it every day, it's not fun. But, you know, if you wake up and say, you know, I don't want to do it today, you know, then you can enjoy yourself.
All right, Earl, what's your answer today? Give us that conspiracy.
My conspiracy is that Mike Rowe and Ben Bailey are the same person. If you go and you Google it, it's on Mike Rowe's webpage. He wrote about this in 2017, that Ben Bailey does stand-up comedy, and people mistake him for Mike Rowe. And they'll go and they'll say, hey, Mr. Rowe, how you doing? And he'll say really nasty things to him. And he says, you can take that from me, right, Mike Rowe, personally. And Mike Rowe was at Discovery Studios, and he was talking with one of the producers there. And they had a conversation where he said, you know, it's a shame your show was canceled. We'd like to bring it back. It's like, oh, yeah, give me a call and let me know. You know, because we really love Cash Cab, Ben. And it's like, I'm Mike Rowe. I'm not Ben Bailey.
So I miss Cash Cab,
people
man.
People confuse the
show.
Two of them.
All right, that's a good one. That's exactly the genre, what we were.
Were you ever a Cash Cab guy? You remember show? Yeah.
I love that show. Very good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a sort of a conspiracy that's out there. They're the same person. Have fun with it. Give us a conspiracy. The JFK stuff could drop in the next few days. 855-839-1210. You get in. Looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right, now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating you. You can save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements using the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3 for heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orasine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com. That's res-q.com. So start your journey to better health today with the code HEALTH35. Remember, you'll save 35% on all single supplements with that code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best one yet with Rescue. All right, it is Dom time, one of their all-time favorites, the president, and also his group. That would be Tom Fitton, president of Judicial Watch here on Talk Radio 1210. Happy New Year, Tom. It's been a while. For listeners who don't know, because this is the gold standard to us, what's the prime mission of Judicial Watch?
We're a conservative government watchdog group. We sue the government for records, protect whistleblowers, sue for taxpayers, protect victims of government abuse and oppression, using the courts. And, of course, the left really hates us because we actually educate the people about what the government's up to.
Well, Dan just gave me this fresh off the wires here. Judicial Watch sues Chicago mayor for records on his pledge to resist Trump's mass deportation efforts. And when we get this, there's always just amazing stuff in this, and probably violation of sunshine laws, if not a bunch of other things.
Yeah, you know, in that case, as I recall, they said they didn't have any records. So he makes this big announcement saying he's resisting President Trump's plans to enforce federal immigration law, and he has no records about it. Come on. either he's just blowing smoke or he's hiding something. Either way, it's going to be interesting to see what the results are.
Tom, Kelsey Gabbard, and maybe you have a better sense than I, but I have a sense why it's been held up probably as much, if not more. I don't even see any confirmation hearing scheduled. She's made a charm offensive with Democrats, willing to meet with them. And also now, as I understand it, is okay in her new role, if she gets that, with Section 702 that she opposed before. So tell me what you make of all that.
I think Tulsi Gabbard should be confirmed forthwith to the position. She's got a level of skepticism that is really necessary for the intelligence role that she would have as Office of Director of National Intelligence. You know, Section 702 is a pretty complicated issue. I may have a kind of a different perspective than a lot of folks. I don't think it's needed. The president constitutionally can spy on foreign nationals. And if you're an American speaking to a foreign national, you can get caught up in that spying. 702 codifies that. And the question is, who's held accountable when there's abuses that take place, where 702 is used as a pretext, not as a reason to look into the communications of American citizens or to monitor the communications of American citizens that really don't have any intelligence benefit. It's just because they can, as opposed to there being a need.
So what do you make of her signing off on that now? Is this just that that's what's needed to get into this position?
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's working for the president of the United States now, or would be, and she should be committing to his views on these issues. You subsume mm-hmm. your personal views and policy preferences at times when you work for someone else. So it's not unusual for nominees to, modify their views or more importantly, modify their public messaging and what their policy preferences are in light of their boss's desires and needs. And, you know, she wasn't elected. He was. And I've kind of explained that 702, you know, even eliminating it isn't going to eliminate the president's constitutional prerogatives to conduct the sort of activity people are concerned about.
Overall now, on the Trump administration, what's your wish list that we're going to see? Is it a person, because the person is policy, like Akash Patel at FBI? What are you hoping to see, Tom, or what have you seen so far that you think strikes you as protecting the rights of the average American?
Oh, lots of things. Obviously, his executive orders have been fantastic in key ways. So many of his selections are sharp and are on the money. Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, Pete Hegseth. It's hard to dispute, at least the administration is firing on all cylinders in terms of keeping campaign promises and bringing on a team that's going to be able to implement them. And the problem with the first administration was he had a team that really didn't agree with him and subverted his mm-hmm. his policy preferences. Again, he was elected. They weren't. And it was this casual sedition by people he appointed, I think, that I think we're going to largely, or I shouldn't say completely avoid, but we're going to have a lot less of.
And they seem to, this time around, I'm very friendly with the guy, at least the White House personnel guy, and I just saw him on an interview, Sergio Gore on Fox. And I'm assuming at other levels, it looks like at the chief deputy at all these cabinet positions, they really drilled down and they got people that are in sync to follow the president's policy. But how difficult is that still, Tom? How far does this go with people that want to be there to slow walk this, if not block whatever the policy is?
You know, there are folks like Tulsi Gabbard who, you know, had views on 702 that are, you know, perfectly legit
mm-hmm.
and aren't at odds with Trump in any substantial or serious way. There's no disconnect there. And then you have folks who sometimes come in who were never Trumpers, anti-Trumpers, or were engaged in policies that are just completely at odds with conservative views or Trump's views on the key issues. And, you know, that's where, you know, the further you go down in hiring folks, that's where you get more issues like that popping up in personnel. So you'll see that come up from time to time in the press. We've seen it a few times already. But someone at Pete Hegseth at Defense and Cash at FBI and Pam Bondi at DOJ, you know, those folks matter less and less when the top people are so as good as they are.
Tom, you are one of our most trusted people. We love having you on. And Judicial Watch, I'm sure, drilled down. There are probably tons of things that you try to do around the January 6th defendants and those that were in prison, et cetera. My only gripe with this, as far as I can tell, out of the 1,500-odd cases, the lion's share, just you can snap your fingers and say, yes, commute the sentence, pardon them. But I am still standing. There's a small number that did attack police, and it seems like Trump, due to the Biden pardons and a bunch of other stuff, went away from where we thought he was going to go and pardon them also, just, you know, all at once. Give us a sense of some of the things that happened to the first group that I talked about that was way beyond what other defendants would face.
You know, I attended the Kavanaugh hearings,
mm-hmm.
and I saw violence. I saw them disrupt
right.
hearings. I saw them, confront the police in a way that required mm-hmm. the police to have to, you know, physically take them out of the room. It was as disruptive as anything you'd ever see on the Hill. And what was the punishment? A $50 ticket. You know, so when you're talking about the first group and, frankly, the last group, you're talking about selective prosecution, prosecutions infected by politics that shouldn't be countenanced by any senior law enforcement official.
So if you were
when
there,
you
Tom,
have
Tom,
a top
if you,
DOJ
you,
official saying right, we're going to prosecute right. people to ensure that other Americans don't exercise their First Amendment rights, there's something very sick there.
So you would pardon all of them as far as you know, then?
Yes. And, you know, and to the and those who kind of engaged in violence against the police, that's not the issue. The issue is whether they were prosecuted in a way that people can have confidence in the fair administration of justice. And even if they were guilty of those underlying crimes, and many of them have served an appropriate level of time in light of their crimes as well. And that's why you had the commutations and not the actual pardons. So, I think he threaded the needle quite nicely.
Now, we differ a bit on this. But look, you know, I respect your knowledge base and fairness on this. So what is it that we see imminently here, Tom? Tell us the next issue that Judicial Watch might be very much directly involved in. What are you working on?
Well, you know, when it comes to January 6th, we represent Ashley Babbitt. Her estate, her family, her widower, you know, $30 million wrongful death action against the federal government. So the trick for the Trump administration now is they're the ones trying to get the case decimated. They're the ones defending her unlawful shooting. So I would hope and expect that's going to change. And I hope it changes soon because we've got a court hearing next week on it.
Wow. I mean, so Byrd has been pardoned, though, right?
I don't know if he's been pardoned. I don't know. And that's, you know, one of the deficiencies that are many of the Biden blanket pardons. There's a suggestion that Byrd was somehow pardoned. And I don't know if he was in that category.
All right. So hopefully, Tom, we'll know pretty soon. Are the Trump people going to follow through with this? Who decides that? The attorney general?
It's hard to know. You know, the president in theory could direct the attorney general. And
okay.
And there's an attack. There's an acting attorney general. I'm not sure when Pam Bondi is going to be confirmed finally.
All right. So where do we go to see all
the interesting issue, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is. I'm in agreement wholehearted with you on this. And again, the Byrd case is shameful that we've never gotten a full hearing on this. Oh, one other area, too. Do you see any sense, well, it would take the head of the FBI, I guess, to get to the bottom of the FBI informants and others that were there on January 6th. That's going to take the FBI director?
Yeah, that's going to take a commitment for disclosure by the FBI and the Justice Department, and presumably with the support of President Trump. To fully disgorge information about what happened there. Not only were there FBI informants at the Capitol mm-hmm. that day, including at least three or four in the Capitol itself, we found that they had CIA teams at the Capitol to support law enforcement. Well, that's weird, isn't it?
Absolutely.
What is the CIA doing at a domestic First Amendment rally?
Exactly. Tom, one parting area, one more. Murkowski has just said that she will oppose Hegseth for Department of Defense. So that's one vote. We know how that is. Maybe that was calculated here. But we're down to a very narrow thing here with Hegseth.
I think he's going to be confirmed. The delays are designed to just batter him a bit, like they did to Kavanaugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Murkowski voting that way is really no surprise. She is the way she is on these issues. She's extremely liberal when it comes to certain issues.
Absolutely.
She votes the right way sometimes, votes the wrong way too often, in my view.
For all things Judicial Watch, where do we go?
JudicialWatch.org, JudicialWatch1word.org, and of course, we're all over social media.
Exactly. Tom, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate the conversation.
All right, Tom Fitton here on Talk Radio 1210. And look, on the January 6th stuff, I didn't pull away from it. I asked one of the guys we really respect. You heard his view. Murkowski will oppose. That's the only one we know at this point, but that's one on the board for their side. Are there Democrats that might vote for Hegseth? I don't see that. This is going to be pretty tight. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Yeah, let's talk for a moment. A question for all you empty nesters or soon-to-be empty nesters out there. Are you wondering if this is your year to downsize? Or maybe you want to know the latest trends in the real estate market that will impact how fast your home will sell. Or maybe you want to know how the new administration's policies will affect the value of your home with the decrease in regulations and cutting of taxes. That's a lot to be thinking about. Let my great friend Diane Cardano from Cardano Realtors answer all those questions for you at her next breakfast event. And it's a great breakfast for future home sellers on Saturday morning, a week from this Saturday, February 1st at the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington. Diane unlocks the secrets to outshine the competition, boost your bottom line, take control of your equity, and sell fast, smarter, and for more. I'll be there that morning. I'll be there around 8:15 or so. I think it starts around 8:30. Always a great time to meet all of you and get Diane's advice. Plus, she'll be signing copies of her new book, Model Home Mindset. It's free. Just RSVP now. Let her know you're coming. Call 215-576-8666. Or visit 215-576-8666.com.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says.
With Dom.
Yes, I'll be quick here, Dom, but a big day in the world of Hollywood as the nominees for the Oscars have been released. And me and Henry were nerding out here, Dom, because a lot of controversy over one of the choices for Best Picture and Lead Actress, first ever out transgendered individual Carla Sofia Gascon, the star of Emilia Perez, has been nominated as Lead Actress and Emilia Perez as Best Picture. And Henry, a lot of negativity towards the film because of depiction of the Mexican culture.
Yeah, that's what I've been gathering through a lot of reviews of the movie, is that it seems like
someone got like a tenuous grasp of the Latino culture and they decided to make a movie and actual Latinos aren't a fan of it.
Yeah, and a lot about the quality of the film that just doesn't live up to Oscar standards, Dom. Here's a clip from the film, which happens to be a musical. It's like a genre-bending style film.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, but take a watch, Dom. This is, and Zoe Saldana's the one that comes in there with the horrible Spanish accent. Take a listen.
Hello, very nice to meet you. I'd like to know about sex change operations.
I see. Men to woman, a woman to men.
Man to woman.
From penis to vagina. Is it for you?
For me?
What would you like to know about it, madam?
I want to know it all. What is the protocol, the techniques and the risks? How many operations, how much time do you need?
Racist.
Sounds like the Oscar winner right here. And the other thing that I've seen, all right, I could see one actor, but the young Trump that only made over a little bit over $1 million. Yes, The Apprentice, you have the lead actor, and then you have the supporting actor, Roy Khan. Both are Oscar nominees. Yeah. That's
Sebastian
just not possible.
Sebastian Stan and Jeremy Strong.
That's not a possibility.
And when the movie came out, like, critics were like, it's okay.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that relationship is critical. That's where Trump got most of the stuff he thinks today, other than his own stuff.
And you'll see this Emilia Perez controversy is going to skyrocket.
13 nominations.
For the film?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Leads the way in the Oscars.
Bill Maher sitting back going, I don't have to do any work. Tomorrow night's show, I predict 20 minutes at least Bill Maher on this.
Hello, very nice to meet you. I'd like to know about sex change operations.
I see.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Coming up, Jeff Van Drew. A lot to talk about with Van Drew, including this subcommittee that's going to reinvestigate January 6th. He'll give us all the details and what's happening with President Trump. He's next in Dom's Money Melody, Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.